help you?
She will be doing when the indigenous women already
you're starting to make circles in the room. So this is the scenario of their delivery of their message. There will be a women's honor song, which has a text right here. And this text will be delivered by Kathleen Sahir. So you probably want to say at some point that you discuss with Elsa because she knows scenario much better, that you give the floor to Kathleen Sahir of the Assembly of the United Nations to deliver her message.
So this will be, you shall now proceed
after the ceremony of the Indigenous Women.
Exactly.
Then she will take over. And if you have any, you know, doubts, Elsa would be somewhere, I would be behind, yeah, that would be the world behind. And then you start from here again. You think that the participants for this group are the same. Okay?
Wait, let me see. There's one name which I wanted to say.
One what?
Name.
Oh, Victoria Tauli Corpus.
Tauli
Corpus. She is the... And actually, Elsa, we need the names, to put in the names who will... yeah.
I thank Mr. Can we start the meeting, please?
It's in time.
Elsa.
It was here.
Thank you.
Oops. Sorry.
Thank you. Participants, please take your seats. Would you please? Will you please take your seats? No? May I ask everybody to take your seats, please? Please, could you stop the noise so we can start the meeting? Please, we cannot start the meeting with the noise taking place in the conference room. Will you please sit down and let us start? Distinguished members of the forum, Your Excellency, President of the General Assembly, Mr. Miguel Descoto Brockman, distinguished delegates, observers, and friends, ladies and gentlemen, with great pleasure and honor, I now declare open the 8th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. It is a special pleasure to extend a warm welcome to all of you on behalf of the Department of Economic and Social Affairs of the United Nations. According to the tradition of the indigenous people, an indigenous elder addresses the opening meeting and offers words of blessing to the session. I now invite Tododaho Sid Hill of the Onondaga Nation to deliver his message. You have the floor.
All of you people, now listen. The Creator has intended, our Creator, that the first thing we put together, our minds, it's my responsibility to put these words out, that all is well here on earth. No matter the number of people gathered, that we will put our minds as one. So what he has planted here on earth that we give thanks for, it is our Mother Earth that we give. She carries on her duties and we give thanks to her as one. Our minds are together now, giving thanks in respectful way to our Mother Earth. And then also, so he has planted here for us the medicines. Here and there they grow about. And everybody can be seated at this time. We kindly put our minds together as one. And we give a great thanks to the medicines that they still carry on their duties. That way we keep it now in our minds as one. And so now the duties were also given to the berries and the trees. The maple tree is the leader of all the forest in this woods, and it becomes a medicine. And we kindly put our minds as one, and we give a great thanks for the trees that we still see medicines coming from them. And then with the berries, there's also a leader, and the leader, there's a medicine that comes from these berries. And the leader is the strawberries, and we're grateful that we can still see it coming, what he has intended for us to use and eat and enjoy to help us be at peace. And we put our minds together as one and give thanks. And the animals that he had placed here, there's a leader for them too also, and it is the deer. We're grateful that the deer is here, that the animals are here to plenish and strengthen our bodies. They give themselves for us so we can walk about this earth in greatness, gratefulness. And we put that in our minds as one and give thanks to all the animals that he has put here for us to walk about with. And also the birds, the winged ones, the feathered ones that fly and they drift about, they also have a leader. And the leader for the birds and the winged ones is the eagle. We're grateful also that we still see him still flying about and high as the clouds. We put our minds, all of us, and give thanks that what he has put here for us is still here for us to see and give thanksful in a respectful way. And then also now he put down this water, the streams that travel about on our Mother Earth, the fresh water. It refreshes itself. It helps with Mother Earth, with all that was planted. We come of one mind, all of us. With one mind, we give a great and respectful thanks to the water that's still carrying on its duties. And so now he has intended, he had put down here the sustenance of life, the foods that replenish our thoughts and minds so we're at peace walking about here on earth. All the foods. It's a great responsibility that they have, the foods, to take care of the people that were intended to walk in peace about here on earth, on our mother. And so we roll up all of our thoughts as one, and we give a great respectful thanksgiving to all the foods that still sustain us and still grow. And then also now by the night times and by the day times, we give thanks to Mother Earth. And there's four messengers, the four protectors that help keep our minds good as we walk about on earth. They protect us. When we walk in good mind, we are protected. So we roll our thoughts as one. And for this great matter that they have for us to walk about on earth, we give thanks as one. And so now the winds that come, the gentle winds that come and strengthen the roots of all that was planted. And also sometimes there's a hard wind to remind us. A strong wind comes sometimes and reminds us that we don't have power to control the nature around us. Therefore we give thanks. It keeps our minds straight for all that was intended for us to walk. The thunders also, they bring water. They carry on a great responsibility to replenish all the waters that we've given thanks for. And we give thanks for the thunders for carrying on their duties. It helps out with all that was intended for us to be with peace, with Mother Earth, and with each other as we walk about on this earth. So we kindly and respectfully put our minds together as one and give thanks that they're still carrying on their duties. And so now we direct our thoughts to the sky, and we give thanks for the great duty and responsibility that the sun has. If the sun warms the earth, so things will be well here on earth, that it was planted and intended for us as people to walk about. And he carries on his duty, the sun. So we kindly and respectfully give our minds to one and direct it to the sun and give thanks for him doing his duties. And now that he intended also that there's another night sun, it's our grandmother the moon. She watches over the earth. She moistens the earth. Everything that he has planted, she watches over. She helps out all what he has done. It's the responsibilities of the women to bring the next generations come in. It's a great matter. It's a great duty that the women carry. Our grandmother earth, our grandmother moon watches over the earth here that we walk about on, and generations to come. It's the great matters that are in the hands of the women. So we kindly and respectfully put our minds together as one and give our thanks to our grandmother the moon for carrying on her duties, and also to the stars of the sky world. They also dampen what was planted here on earth. And so now we will see this into the future, into the come. This message that comes to us of peace from the Creator, for us to work in the good mind, work with the good mind and do peaceful thoughts and carry on peaceful doings here on earth, and to live and work with each other. We put our minds together as one and give thanks that it's still going on. And so now we direct our words to the Creator, what he has intended, what he has put here. Each day and each night, he has intended us to love, to carry about in love and peace with each other, all human beings that walk about on earth. And so we give great respect to each other and a thanksgiving to the Creator for what he has intended for us to walk about on earth in peace. And so we'll put it that way in our minds as one and give thanks, and that is our way. So this was the short version of the Ganahani of the Thanksgiving address. Some great matters, some great issues here on it that we're going to be discussing. And that is all.
I thank Tododaho Sidhil for the ceremonial welcome to the 8th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. We shall now proceed with the ceremony of recognition of the Indigenous women. I give the floor to Kathleen McHugh of the Assembly of First Nations.
Okei, okay, kiitos näeksi matsim puhua noksisi koik. Niistä vaikka miksikin me pitääkin. Nyt siksi keitsi täpi. Honored members of the UN Permanent Forum, delegates, ladies and gentlemen. The elders of this great land called Turtle Island, known to many as North America, tell us that the prophecies say Indigenous women will step forward with teachings that will restore the necessary balance of life to all of us. The Assembly of First Nations Women's Council is deeply honored to have worked with members of the UN Permanent Forum Secretariat and North American representative to the UN Permanent Forum in preparation for the honoring of Indigenous women at the opening of this session. Thank you to our sisters of the Native Women's Association of Canada for joining us here today. And a very special thank you to our elder who began this session with the blessings that we need to get our work done. For the first time in history, a circle in celebration of Indigenous women has been formed within the United Nations, this great house of MICA. This profound act of joining together in a circle of United Nations in honor of women will be forever etched in our hearts and in our minds. It will be remembered as the time we came together to recommit to restoring the sacred roles and relationships between women and men that once made our families strong and our nations vibrant. Remembrance of the feminine and masculine principles is key to the survival of the human family. This song is to honor the spirit of women and to give strength to the women in carrying out their responsibilities bestowed upon them by the Creator. It is called the Strong Women's Song, and it is our hope that this song will continue to strengthen our collective work in restoring the sacred circle that is represented here today. And it is the presence of the women who have formed a circle in this room today that are here to celebrate the women. In this circle, we acknowledge the many roles of women as life givers, providers, mothers, daughters, sisters, aunties, wives, and grandmothers who make this circle strong. And it is for you that we sing this song. We wish to invite all of you to join us and to raise your voice and sing like you know the song. Thank you very much.
Hey, hi, hey, hi, yo. Hey, hi, hey, hi, yo.
I thank the participants for this beautiful ceremony dedicated to recognition of Indigenous women. Distinguished members of the forum, it is my distinct pleasure to invite His Excellency, Mr. Miguel Descoto Brockman, the President of the General Assembly, to address the forum. You have the floor, sir.
Dear sisters and brothers, here I don't tend to stand up when I'm about to open a meeting, but I would like to do so at least for a short while in order to greet you, all my sisters and brothers. I'd like to warmly welcome you here to your home at the United Nations headquarters. A couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of being in Anchorage, Alaska, at the Summit of First Nations, and the energy that I received there throughout my stay with many of you for those 3 or 4 days is still with me today.
The sound is not working.
It's working.
Very
it's
long.
You
will try to speak louder or to sit down.
Sit down.
Okay. No, I was standing up because I wanted to show off my garment. I see all of you dressed up beautifully, proudly wearing the symbol of your culture, of your tradition. You know, I've been here a bit too long, and in the West, the West is the world of homogenization. Everything is made to look the same. I think homogenization is good for milk. But not for human society. I believe that cultural and religious diversity is as important for the future of our world as is biodiversity. So I just want to say that I'm extremely happy to be with you. I think I began in Spanish, and then I forgot, and I went into English. Okay, so let's keep it in English. You know, this garment makes me also feel very proud because it has become emblematic of the struggle in defense of the rights of our original peoples all over the world. This is the garment that Evo Morales wears, and he had it made for me to wear, and I wear it on very special occasions. I would not have dared to wear his garment if it was not that he had it made for me and he wanted me to wear it. I'm greatly honored. Evo Morales, his election to the presidency of Bolivia is, I think, one of the most significant events in the 500 years of Latin American history, since our first independence, but not complete, the first independence from Spain. So I salute him. He's in Bolivia. He could not be here now. He was here last year for this event. He was here only a few weeks ago for the United Nations proclamation of Mother Earth Day, Pachamama, the day of Pachamama in my language of my people. The predominant language of our original peoples in Nicaragua was Nahuatl. Mother Earth, we call her Tonan Sing. And so, once again, I thank you. You make me very happy. You bring life, joy, cultural diversity to the United Nations. I can only assure you that I will comply. I will fulfill all the commitments that I made in the Summit of Aboriginal Peoples in Anchorage. Can you hear me now? All the way? Yeah. Excellencies, Madam Chairperson, distinguished members of the Permanent Forum, Indigenous elders and representatives, sisters and brothers all. I am honored to be invited to address the opening ceremony of the 8th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. I am pleased to see so many Indigenous representatives here at the United Nations coming from around the world to participate in this 8th session. The forum continues to be a shining example of collaboration and dialogue between Indigenous peoples, member states, the United Nations system, and civil society at large. It was an historic moment when on the 13th of September 2007, the General Assembly adopted by an overwhelming majority the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Our challenge is now to fully and effectively implement the declaration. Partnerships are crucial to achieve this objective, and states and the UN system should strive to ensure that Indigenous peoples fully participate in this process. In this regard, I welcome Australia's recent endorsement of the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples and urge all governments that may not have voted, all governments that might have voted against the declaration or abstain to follow Australia's lead. I would also like to express my optimism about developments in my own region, Latin America, where the declaration is having a profound resonance, including its adoption as national law in Bolivia. I think we are all proud of the great effort that President Evo Morales Ayma has been making to promote and implement the rights of Indigenous peoples and all excluded people. We are witness to the irreversible progress being achieved in other countries as well. The Permanent Forum emphasizes accountability in its decision to devote this session to the follow-up of its recommendations in three of its mandated areas is highly significant. I sincerely hope that this analysis of the implementation of the forum's recommendations, as well as the in-depth dialogue with six UN agencies, will result in strengthened accountability and partnerships for the full implementation of the declaration. I specifically welcome the forum's decision to follow up on its recommendations regarding the second international decade of the world's indigenous peoples. The second decade's objective includes the promotion of participation in partnerships, as well as the enhancement and monitoring mechanisms and accountability. Regarding the second decade, I would like to point out that the General Assembly recently adopted a resolution on indigenous issues in which it calls for a midterm assessment report of the second decade, evaluating progress made in the achievement of its goals and objectives. This exercise represents another vital step towards strengthened partnerships and accountability and the full implementation of the declaration. Despite significant progress, it is important to point out that indigenous peoples continue to face marginalization, extreme poverty, and other human rights violations that threaten their ways of life and, in some cases, their very survival. The ongoing global economic crisis will undoubtedly have a negative impact on the indigenous peoples around the world. It is bad, it's a bitter irony that the people who are doing the most to protect our dear Mother Earth from the rapacious landlords and agro-industrialists are the ones who are hurt the most by these and related crises. This fundamental injustice underlines the urgency of concerted action to fully implement the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples and the objectives of the second decade of the world's indigenous people. It is also one of the fundamental reasons that I would like to bring to your attention an important meeting that is deeply relevant to indigenous peoples around the world. Indeed, to all people who are struggling to have their voices heard in this period of global economic turmoil and hardship, a summit of leaders from all 192 member states of the General Assembly will meet from 1 to 3 June to address the global economic and financial crisis and its impact on development. While smaller groups of countries have met to resolve the deepening economic and financial crisis, the United Nations is the appropriate forum where the needs and interests of all countries can be taken into account. I would like to conclude by commending the members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, indigenous representatives, member states, and UN agencies gathered here for your continued commitment to indigenous peoples' rights. In this time of broken promises and eroded trust, it is truly significant that you have placed both hope and trust in this United Nations forum. I hope that this organization is and always will be there when you need it. I wish you a very successful and productive ACE session. Thank you, but I have a footnote. I want you to be aware you know, we talk about this multiple convergent crisis, all kinds of things exploding. You know, it's not only the financial, economic, monetary, commercial, climate change, human trafficking, all of these things that are exploding in our faces. They are basically due to our lack of respect for our betrayal of the most sacred values and principles that we all derive from our respective religions and our philosophical, ethical traditions. We must go to the values that you people exemplify, the values that are also exemplified by different people around the world. To me, one of the most important is Evo Morales. We've got to go back to the idea that we are only stewards, this capitalistic concept of absolute ownership. Is wrong, is sinful. God is the only owner of everything that is in his creation. We human beings have been entrusted with the very important task of stewardship. We should not rebel. It is our rebellion against this that has led us to the quagmire of selfishness in which we seem to be sinking and sinking, in which we hope with the help of God we come all together and give strong testimony that we believe that we are all of us brothers and sisters, that we believe that we're on the same boat. Together, we will sink or float together. And so, God bless you. I wish you the very best. Your presence here makes me extremely happy. And I hope you have a very successful gathering, meeting of your eighth session of the Forum of Indigenous Issues. Thank you.
On behalf of the Permanent Forum, I thank His Excellency, Mr. Descoto Brockman, for his statement. Distinguished members of the forum, we shall now proceed to the first item on the agenda, the election of the chairperson for this session. I first give the floor to Mr. Carlos Mamani. You have the floor, sir.
Muchas gracias, señora presidenta.
Thank you, chairperson. I'll be the first to speak, and having listened to Mr. Miguel Descoto Brockman, I'd like to speak in Aymara.
Churu Nayaha Kana Humanakampi Aruskipanya Sina Ukamanste Aruntan Munarakto Atakpachani Tatanaka Mamanaka Kitanakateha Irpiri Malikunaka Akankaptana Senora Presidenta.
Madam Chairperson, President of the General Assembly, ladies and gentlemen, traditional authorities, chiefs, sisters, and brothers, it's an honor for me to present Victoria Tauli Corpus, distinguished member of our forum and representative of Asia, as the chairperson for the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. I am sure that Ms. Tauli Corpus has the capacity to take charge of the meetings and all our duties as the forum throughout our period of management. Thank you.
I thank Mr. Mamani for the nomination of Ms. Victoria Tauri Corpus as the chairperson for the 8th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. May I take it that it is the wish of the members of the Permanent Forum to elect Victoria Tauri Corpus as the chairperson for the 8th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues by acclamation. It is so decided. Now I wish to extend my warmest congratulations to Ms. Victoria Tauri Corpus on her election. I am confident that she will, as she did last year, guide this session of the forum to a successful conclusion. I now invite Ms. Tauri Corpus to take over the proceedings of this session.
Do you have any coffee?
No.
Thank you very much. First, let me thank Mr. Carlos Mamani and members, distinguished members of the forum, for giving me the confidence that I will be able to steer this 8th session of the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. I would like to thank Ms. Raquel Mayania, the Assistant Secretary General, Department of Economic and Social Affairs, for opening the session. Before proceeding, I would again like to reiterate my thanks to the members of the forum for re-electing me as the chairperson. Distinguished members of the forum, distinguished observers, friends, ladies and gentlemen, as chairperson of this session, I am particularly happy on behalf of the members of the forum to extend a warm welcome to our distinguished guests at this opening meeting, His Excellency Mr. Miguel Discoto Brockman, the President of the General Assembly, Her Excellency Madam Asha Rose Migiro, the Deputy Secretary General of the United Nations, and Madam Rachel Mayania, the Assistant Secretary General for the Department of Economic and Social Affairs. Before we proceed into the I shall now proceed to deal with some of the organizational matters for the session. I propose to the members of the forum to proceed with the adoption of the provisional agenda for the 8th session as contained in documents E/C19/2009/1. Are there any comments on the agenda as contained in the document I mentioned? I shall take it then that the provisional agenda is acceptable to all members of the forum. The agenda for the 8th session is adopted. We shall now proceed to the election of other officers for this session. I understand that through informal consultations, the following members are nominated as vice chairpersons: Ms. Tonya Gunella Frischner, Ms. Margaret Lokaua, Ms. Elisa Kankimolo, and Mr. Pavel Solyansiga. Mr. Michael Dodson is nominated as rapporteur. May I take it that the members of the forum wish to elect the nominees as vice chairpersons and rapporteur by acclamation? It is so decided. I would like to congratulate Ms. Tonya Gunella Frischner, Ms. Margaret Lukaua, Ms. Elisa Kankimolo, and Mr. Pavel Solyansiga for their election as vice chairpersons, and Mr. Michael Dodson for his election as rapporteur. I now invite the rapporteur, Mr. Dodson, to take his seat on the podium. I would like now to make a statement in my capacity as the chairperson of the 8th session of the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. Your Excellency, President of the General Assembly, Mr. Discoto Brockman, Your Excellency, Deputy Secretary General, Ms. Asha Rose Migiro, Assistant Secretary General, DESA, and Special Advisor on Gender Issues and Advancement of Women, Ms. Rachel Mayania, distinguished members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, distinguished observers from member states, Indigenous Peoples Organizations, the intergovernmental system, non-governmental organizations, the academia and the media, Indigenous sisters and brothers, Indigenous youth, and Indigenous parliamentarians. It gives me great pleasure to welcome you and address you today at this 8th session of the Permanent Forum. Let me first pay my respects to the Onondaga Nation and peoples who are the original inhabitants of this land and to thank them for having us here again. We come together here at a time when the world is confronted with a global economic recession of unprecedented scale. This challenges us to have more in-depth understanding of this situation and how it is affecting Indigenous peoples the world over. We also need to explore what Indigenous peoples can contribute as solutions to this crisis, even if they are not the ones who caused it. It is very timely and relevant, therefore, that this year the forum will review the implementation of its recommendations on economic and social development, Indigenous women, and the second international decade of the world's Indigenous people. There are analysis reports on these three areas which are part of the documents for this session. What is consistent from the analysis of recommendations from previous sessions is the persistent call on governments, United Nations agencies, international institutions, and the private sector to change their paradigms and approaches in their work with Indigenous peoples. This includes increased mainstreaming of Indigenous peoples in their work, respect for the right of free, prior, and informed consent, recognition of collective rights, and increased participation from Indigenous peoples in program, policy design, implementation and monitoring. Further, there is often a lack of awareness and understanding that current program and policy formulas, even if they are successful in other settings, cannot be simply transposed and applied to indigenous peoples. As we know, indigenous peoples have a right to pursue their own economic, social, and cultural development, which means that their cultures, identities, and traditional knowledge and livelihoods have to be considered in the development equation. Thus, it is an imperative that their effective and meaningful participation in decision-making bodies at all levels is ensured. Also, that equal partnerships between them and the state and the private sector are established. Racism and discrimination against indigenous peoples is still very much alive. This is why indigenous peoples fought long and hard for the UN Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. This declaration, which interprets how international human rights law should apply to the particular historical context and present circumstances of indigenous peoples, is an instrument to combat racism. I want to acknowledge the role of indigenous women who have been advocates and leaders at the United Nations since the very first year of the Working Group on Indigenous Populations in 1982 in Geneva. Indigenous women have been active in drafting and negotiations of the UN Declaration, which was adopted in 2007. Today, attention to indigenous women's issues is increasing within the United Nations. For example, the special theme of the third session of the forum was on indigenous women. In March 2005, a resolution on indigenous women was adopted at the 49th session of the Commission of the Status on Women, which was the first ever resolution on indigenous women by this body. Today, indigenous women participate in the forum in great numbers, and they have their own regional networks and their own caucus. The rights of indigenous women should be protected at all times and by all provisions of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Article 22 calls for particular attention to be paid to their rights and special needs, and calls upon states to take measures to ensure that indigenous women enjoy the full protection and guarantees against all forms of violence and discrimination. Violence against indigenous women is a daily reality. It's a daily reality in many countries, and the elimination of this has to be one indicator for measuring the implementation of the declaration. The forum will also focus on how the permanent forum will discharge its mandate under Article 42 of the UN Declaration, which mentions the forum as a body to follow up and promote implementation of the declaration. An international expert meeting on this was held on January 14 to 16 this year, and the report is contained in document E/C19/2009/2. Please spend time to read this paper, and as it contains the recommendations which you can support or further strengthen. I would like to make special mention and congratulate the Australian government for endorsing the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples on 3 April this year. Also, to congratulate my dear colleague, Mr. Mick Dodson, a permanent forum member who was named the 2009 Australian of the Year by the National Australia Day Council. I also congratulate the government of Colombia for its statement on April 21, 2009, during the Durban Review Conference, expressing support for the declaration. It is my hope that these acts will be translated into better protection and respect of the rights of indigenous peoples in these two countries. As was agreed last year, we are adopting new approaches for the forum's work. We have a multi-year program in which 1 year will be a review year and the next year will be a policy year. This year is a review year where we will take stock of the implementation of recommendations on socioeconomic development, indigenous women, and the second international decade of the world's indigenous peoples. Secondly, we will do in-depth dialogues with six UN entities, namely the Office of the High Commissioner on Human Rights, Food and Agriculture Organization, International Fund for Agricultural Development, United Nations Development Program, United Nations Population Fund, and the Department of Economic and Social Affairs. These dialogues will provide an opportunity for indigenous peoples, permanent forum members, and governments to obtain a better understanding of the challenges and opportunities that each of these United Nations agencies and bodies face, as well as their progress in discharging their mandate in relation to indigenous peoples' issues. I urge you to be critical, but to do this in a very constructive manner so that we can help strengthen each other's work for the sake of indigenous peoples. Always keep in mind that we are talking here as partners, not as protagonists. The odds we face in getting our rights respected and our self-determined development operationalized are many. So our approach should be geared towards strengthening partnership so that we can consolidate our strength and gains to confront these odds. Other highlights of this forum include a regional focus on indigenous peoples of the Arctic region. The discussion on the Arctic will take place on 21 May and will be launched by a panel comprised of states, regional organizations, and indigenous organizations. Today, we will also have a discussion on corporations and indigenous peoples, including interventions by permanent forum members who were appointed by the forum to consider this issue. A representative of the Secretary General's Special Representative on Business and Human Rights will make a statement under this agenda item. Next week, on the morning of Wednesday, 27 May, under Emerging Issues, we have decided to have a discussion on the impact of the global economic and financial crisis on indigenous peoples. This crisis presents serious adverse impacts on us, but also opens up some opportunities. It is without any doubt that this crisis was brought about by policies of deregulation, liberalization, and privatization, which are the main features of the dominant globalized economic model. Indigenous peoples have consistently criticized this model for breeding further inequalities and for being very unsustainable. The discussion will be launched with a panel comprised of Mr. Jomo Sundaram, Assistant Secretary General for Economic Development, a representative of Guatemala, a representative of the World Bank, and myself. Once again, during the afternoon of Wednesday, 20 May, there will be a dialogue with the Special Rapporteur on Human Rights and Fundamental Freedoms of Indigenous Peoples, Mr. James Anaya, and also with Mr. Jose Carlos Morales, a representative of the Expert Mechanism on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Let me turn to three important processes that I was involved with in this past year. The first one was the International Expert Group meeting on extractive industries, indigenous people's rights, and corporate social responsibility, which was held in Manila, Philippines, from 27 to 29 March 2009. This expert meeting was organized by Tubtuba Foundation in cooperation with the Secretariat of the Permanent Forum. The expert meeting came about because indigenous peoples have consistently expressed the need to address human rights and economic development issues in relation to extractive industries. It was noted that all the corporations, due to pressures and struggles from indigenous peoples, are now more willing to consult. These efforts fall short of the standard of free, prior, and informed consent. There is a major problem with the lack of full disclosure of information regarding environmental, social, cultural, and human rights impact. One frequently encountered problem was that corporations, in collusion with government authorities, select indigenous individuals or specific communities with which to negotiate without ensuring that they represented their communities and or the impacted area. By doing this, they divide the indigenous peoples within the communities. Further, participants expressed frustration that extractive industries often treated benefit sharing and social programs as charity rather than a human rights issue. The report of this meeting can be found in conference room paper 8. The second meeting I wanted to mention was mentioned by our President of the General Assembly, the Indigenous Peoples Global Summit on Climate Change, which was held in Anchorage, Alaska. This meeting was attended by around 400 indigenous representatives from 80 countries of the permanent 7 regions. This summit was preceded by several regional summits and workshops on climate change, which included the Asia Summit, the Latin American Summit, the Africa Summit, and a workshop on climate change impacts and adaptation strategies for Arctic on indigenous communities. The Global Summit made a number of recommendations, and some of these included calling upon the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change decision-making bodies to establish formal structures and mechanisms for the full and effective participation of indigenous peoples and to recognize and respect the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples in Climate Change Decisions, Policies, and Programs. A special mention should also be made that on 22 April 2009, the UN General Assembly adopted a unanimous resolution designating April 22 each year as International Mother Earth Day. This initiative was sponsored by Bolivia and 50 other countries. The most recent task which the forum did was a mission to the Chaco region of Bolivia and Paraguay to look into the situation of forced labor and semi-slavery of the Guarani and other indigenous peoples. This is in response to Recommendation 156 of last year's report, which expressed our concern on this issue. We were invited by President Lugo of Paraguay and President Evo Morales of Bolivia to visit the Chaco region. 4 members of the forum, Lars Anders Baer, Bartolome Clavero, Carlos Mamani, and myself, undertook this mission from April 25 to May 6, 2009. We were joined by the representatives of the ILO, FAO, UNDP, and the Office of the High Commissioner on Human Rights. We visited several villages and held meetings with indigenous persons who are victims of forced labor and servitude. We also met with members of the cattle ranchers' associations, with different government ministers, with officials of judiciary and legislative bodies, with NGOs, and with indigenous peoples' organizations, not only in Bolivia and Paraguay, but also from other Latin American countries. In closing, I would like to reiterate my thanks to my co-members of the Permanent Forum for their hard work over the past year. Permanent Forum members have engaged with various processes at the national, regional, and international level to facilitate the implementation of the Forum's recommendations and raise awareness of the issues important for indigenous peoples. You have all been good team players, which is what we need for us to effectively carry out our mandate. I would also like to thank the Secretariat, who has been tirelessly working not only to prepare for this session, but for keeping the fire burning in between sessions. I would like to thank the representatives of indigenous peoples, organizations, and nations, the governments, the members of the Interagency Support Group on Indigenous Issues, and the support NGOs, who likewise have done their share in helping implement the Permanent Forum's recommendations, as well as the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Finally, I would like to pay tribute to the indigenous peoples of the world who continue to struggle for their rights and are trying their very best to implement their own development visions and priorities. We remember those who have sacrificed their lives in these struggles. We should not forget that we are not here for ourselves, but for the many who continue to suffer from racism, discrimination, and oppression, and who cannot be with us here. Most of you have traveled for many days and from far away places to participate in this session. Let us all work together to make this session meaningful and worthwhile for all indigenous peoples. Dakkel ay salamat kada kayo amin, mun gasing-gasing tako ay wada kayo sna ay mun didungo isnan ikakkan nan Permanent Forum. Thank you very much. It is my pleasure now to give the floor to Her Excellency Madam Asha Rose Migiro, Deputy Secretary General of the United Nations. You have the floor, Madam.
Thank you. Excellency Miguel Descota Brockman, President of the General Assembly, distinguished members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, distinguished representatives of Indigenous Peoples Organizations, distinguished elders, Assistant Secretary General Rachel Mayanja, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. At the outset, allow me to congratulate Ms. Tauli Coppers as chair of the 8th session of the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, as well as those members elected to the Bureau. Your leadership will be vital in advancing the agenda of the forum. Tis my great pleasure now to welcome you to this 8th session of the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. Many of you, ladies and gentlemen, have traveled very far to be here today. I thank you for taking the time. I am confident that these 2 weeks will make the long trip worthwhile. This meeting comes at a crucial time. The world is coping with a swarm of crises, hunger, poverty, global warming, and security threats are intensifying. All are especially devastating to indigenous communities. But indigenous peoples have a record of resilience in the face of struggle. This permanent forum is the result of a decades-long effort to put indigenous concerns on the international agenda. That drive culminated in 2007 with adoption of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. We now have a special rapporteur on the situation of human rights and fundamental freedoms of indigenous people, and an expert mechanism on the rights of indigenous peoples at the Human Rights Council. The special rapporteur is making heard the voices of the indigenous victims and survivors of human rights violations. And thanks to the Special Rapporteur's work, more governments have been engaged in a dialogue promoting the improvement of indigenous people's lives. The United Nations system itself is increasing efforts to become more engaged on indigenous issues. Ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, United Nations agencies and other intergovernmental organizations have adopted policies and guidelines on indigenous issues. And I welcome the interaction of these agencies with this permanent forum. A number of United Nations bodies are doing more to improve not only their policies, but also their action on the ground on indigenous issues. I look forward to seeing the vision of a one UN become a reality in this work. Indeed, indigenous peoples have used their voice to make a great impact on our work. Just last month, they contributed to the United Nations Forum on Forests and the Commission on Sustainable Development. Individual countries are also moving forward and have taken the welcome step of endorsing the declaration. I call on those countries that have not yet done so to follow suit. Ladies and gentlemen, these are all important achievements, but you know better than anyone that they're not enough. Indigenous peoples around the world continue to suffer from prejudice and marginalization. Indigenous women are subject to many forms of discrimination and brutalized by violence. Powerful forces continue to take land from indigenous peoples, denigrate their cultures, suppress their languages, and even directly attack their very lives. These acts violate every principle enshrined in the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. They are an offense not only to indigenous peoples, but to the conscience of humanity. The General Assembly solemnly proclaimed that the Declaration is a standard of achievement to be pursued in a spirit of partnership and mutual respect. We must live up to these words. We have to do more than just raise living standards for indigenous peoples. We must listen to their voices, heed their warnings, and seek their contributions to achieving our shared objectives. Indigenous peoples have been living the principle of sustainable development since long before it became an international buzzword. But too often, their wisdom and traditional knowledge are overlooked, or worse, stolen. The very peoples who have the utmost respect for biodiversity have been excluded from decisions on how to protect the natural world. This must change, ladies and gentlemen. Protecting indigenous communities and their wealth of wisdom will not only enhance their lives, it will serve the interests of all people concerned about a healthy future for our planet. We ignore indigenous peoples at our peril, but if we listen to them, society as a whole will benefit. This means bringing indigenous peoples' contributions to the table in international negotiations on the main challenges facing our world. We must make sure that the concerns and ideas of indigenous peoples are high on its agenda. The same is true of the intensive negotiations leading up to the United Nations Climate Change Conference in Copenhagen this December. Indigenous peoples have direct experience of the impacts of climate change, and they have expressed that knowledge in their recently adopted Alaska Declaration. Dear friends, looking out across this room, I see a beautiful tapestry of diversity stitched together with a common purpose: protecting our planet and its most vulnerable cultures and peoples. By uniting your different strengths to reach common goals, you can help address the many threats facing humanity for the sake of present and future generations. I salute you, and I urge you to continue your activism and your engagement, not only at this forum, but across the international stage, so the entire global community can benefit from your ideas and your solutions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I thank Madam Deputy Secretary General Asha Rose Migiro for her valuable statement. I now give the floor to Madam Rachel Mayanya, Assistant Secretary General, Department of Economic and Social Affairs. You have the floor, Madam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me also join in congratulating those who have been elected as members of the Bureau. Distinguished members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, distinguished elders, distinguished representatives of member states, indigenous organizations, non-governmental organizations, His Excellency the President of the General Assembly, Her Excellency the Deputy Secretary General, colleagues from the UN system and other intergovernmental organizations, ladies and gentlemen, I welcome the emphasis on the implementation that will be given by the 8th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues and will provide the opportunity to review key themes of previous sessions, namely economic and social development, Indigenous women, and the second international decade of the world's Indigenous people, to measure progress made and assess the challenges ahead. I wish to congratulate the Permanent Forum for its attention on implementation, including the innovative methodology of in-depth dialogue with UN agencies. The significant inputs received for this session of the Permanent Forum include information from 12 governments, a record number by comparison to previous years, as well as 24 documents from UN system and other intergovernmental organizations and 12 Indigenous Peoples organizations, in addition to papers submitted by the Permanent Forum experts. Given this voluminous documentation, I believe it is useful to highlight a number of conclusions and recommendations that are emerging from the reports received. In the area of economic and social development, UN agencies and other intergovernmental bodies have responded well to the Permanent Forum's recommendations on economic and social development, especially when these are addressed specifically. The forum should explore a methodology to encourage UN country teams to report and participate in the follow-up process, as is currently the case with the Ecuador UN country team. The forum's recommendations regarding the Millennium Development Goals, while influencing the work of agencies at headquarters level, are not yet being fully implemented at national level. This will require a concerted effort from UN country teams. In terms of governments, the follow-up process is more difficult because of a lack of information from many states. Those states that have provided information are certainly to be commended and should continue to do so. Indigenous peoples' organizations should also be encouraged to participate more actively in the reporting and follow-up process at local, national, and international level, including at the sessions of the Permanent Forum. Many of the forum's recommendations are labeled as, quote, ongoing, and end of quote, in the recommendations database prepared by the Secretariat of the Forum. It should be understood that many of the forum's recommendations, due to their broad, comprehensive nature, will require a long-term approach to their implementation. It is highly recommended that good practices in the implementation of recommendations on economic and social development should be compiled and disseminated. Another insight in the area of development is given by desk reviews of 1 regional and 9 national human development reports conducted this year by the Secretariat of the Permanent Forum to ascertain progress on Indigenous issues. The following are some general conclusions. Except for 1 country, the reports that were reviewed have very little information on the state of human development of Indigenous peoples, and none provided disaggregated data in the context of the MDGs. In the case of the African countries and 1 Asian, Indigenous peoples were not explicitly mentioned in the reports, except as part of the collective poor and marginalized groups. In the context of the MDGs, extreme poverty and high incidences of infant and maternal mortality seem to be the most pressing problems in Indigenous communities. These are due to a number of factors, with inadequate access to land, health services, safe drinking water, and natural resources being the most common cause of poverty and mortality among indigenous peoples. Land rights issues and disputes over ownership of land are a major concern for many indigenous peoples in the countries and regions reviewed. References to indigenous peoples were made when the reports addressed land issues. Marginalization, discrimination, and exclusion of indigenous peoples are the most persistent social issues in all the countries reviewed. None of the HDRs that were reviewed clearly indicate whether indigenous peoples participated or were solicited to participate in the creation of the reports. The recommendations emerging from the desk reviews of the human development reports include the following. Human development reports should highlight and include the plight of indigenous peoples who are among the most marginalized groups in society and often the victims of development. In order to properly identify the development challenges that indigenous peoples face, as well as the role they can play in the achievement of the MDGs, their inclusion and participation in the creation of the human development reports is imperative. Future country reports should include a comprehensive section on the poorest performing provinces or subregions and present disaggregated data in order to identify and the specific populations that are clear outliers of progress in human development. Madam Chairperson, turning now to the forum's recommendations on Indigenous women, a number of important programs and activities have been undertaken to meet some of the recommendations, while implementation of the remaining 46% of the relevant recommendations has not been reported or initiated. Since the majority of the information received by the Permanent Forum addresses situations in Central and South America and the Caribbean, the Permanent Forum should encourage reporting regarding other regions in order to better assess the state of implementation in those areas. Indigenous women's organizations should also be invited to engage in their own monitoring of the implementation of forum's recommendations to the UN system and others at the local and country levels, as well as the regional level, and inform the forum if they deem appropriate. Turning now to the second international decade of the world's indigenous people, it should be pointed out that the Secretariat has not received a critical enough mass of responses regarding the decade in order to be able to ascertain all progress made in the implementation of the goal, objectives, and program of action of the decade. We therefore welcome the adoption of General Assembly Resolution A / Resolution / 63 / 61 in December 2008, requesting a mid-decade review to be submitted by the Secretary General to the General Assembly in 2010. This review will be conducted with the broad participation of states, indigenous organizations, and other non-governmental organizations, as well as the United Nations system and other intergovernmental organizations. While the mid-decade review called for by the General Assembly in 2010 will give the opportunity to all concerned to renew their commitment to the decade, take relevant actions, and provide comprehensive inputs in the implementation of the decade, it should be pointed out that at least two clear broad outcomes have been catalyzed during the first years of the decade. One, an increased awareness of indigenous issues and increased involvement of member states, United Nations, and other intergovernmental organizations in indigenous issues, including at the field level. And two, the adoption of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. At this important juncture of the decade's vision and of the efforts towards the Millennium Development Goals, it is recommended that states, indigenous peoples, and the United Nations and other intergovernmental organizations, non-government organizations, and other actors of civil society undertake initiatives inspired by the goal, objectives, and program of action of the decade, including financial support to the Trust Fund on Indigenous issues. It is also recommended that reporting of all concerned on progress in the implementation of the decade be enhanced, including on the part of Indigenous peoples and their organizations. Before closing, I would like to extend the appreciation of my department to all states and UN system and other intergovernmental organizations for their sincere cooperation on Indigenous issues. I am extending congratulations to the government of Norway for hosting the pre-sessional meeting of the Permanent Forum this year in Karasjok, Sameland, in March this year, and the governments of Denmark, Algeria, Suriname, Germany, Finland, Japan, Chile, Mexico, and Canada for their contributions to the Trust Fund on Indigenous Issues in 2008. In addition, UNESCO has our thanks as well for hosting the annual meeting of the Interagency Support Group on Indigenous Issues last year. Madam Chairperson, it is through continuous commitment and international cooperation that we will achieve the goal of the second decade, namely progress on Indigenous issues in the areas of human rights, economic and social development, environment, education, health, and culture. Let us work towards this goal in partnership with the Indigenous peoples of the world. I thank you for your attention.
I would like to thank Madam Assistant Secretary General Rachel Mayanya for her statement and for summarizing the extent of implementation of the recommendations from the Permanent Forum sessions on the three issues that are going to be discussed this afternoon. I know our three guests are very busy people, so I would like to excuse them as they have other matters to attend to, but I really would like to thank you all for gracing this opening plenary session, and we will hear from us when the session is over on the reports from this session. Thank you very much. Distinguished members of the forum, distinguished observers and friends, let me now say a few words on some organizational arrangements for this session. I wish to first draw your attention to the proposed organization of work as contained in document E/C19/2009/L1. This document was prepared by the Secretariat in consultation with members of the forum. It is a reference guide for the agenda and work program for the session. It contains a detailed description of our program of work on a day-to-day basis for the whole session. I am very pleased that this session of the forum has, as in previous years, drawn a large number of representatives from Indigenous peoples, nations, communities, and organizations. Given the large number of participants, I do hope to have full cooperation from all of you, so that the members of the forum could hear the views of all the participants and thereon make appropriate recommendations to the Economic and Social Council. At this time, I would like to remind you of the following few points as regards our work in the course of the 8th session. On the issue of list of speakers, we shall follow the practice established in the forum at the previous sessions. I would encourage participants to submit all requests to make a statement or take the floor on each item of the secretariat. Since we have limited time for each substantive item to accommodate all those participants who wish to make statements, I shall impose a time limit for the observers of the session according to the number of speakers on my list. The speakers should make shorter statements and provide the secretariat with hard copies of the longer version of their statements, if they wish, so that these statements could subsequently be put on the website. In this connection, I should like to appeal to participants from Indigenous Peoples organizations to coordinate amongst themselves in order to make consolidated group statements on items under consideration. By group statements, I mean groups of organizations present at this session. As we did at previous sessions, I shall give priority to caucus statements and collective statements by groups of organizations present here. As a matter of courtesy, I appeal to the participants to keep all consultations outside of the conference room in order not to disrupt the meeting. Also, I would like to briefly advise that no food or drink is allowed in the UN conference rooms. Similarly, no photographing or use of visual recording equipment is allowed in the conference room when a meeting is in progress unless accompanied by a protocol officer. Kindly follow the established guidelines as established by the conference officers. We are now going to open the names, the speakers list for the agenda item this afternoon, which is the recommendations on economic social development on in Indigenous women on the second decade. You can now go to the speakers list, to the secretariat to enlist your names. I wish to recognize the presence among us of Ms. Kim Morph, the great-granddaughter of Haudenosaunee Chief Deskahe, who went to the League of Nations in 1923. All of you will remember Chief Deskahe because we mention him every time we talk about the UN, the Indigenous people's participation in the United Nations and in the international community. Deskahe went to plead his case for his people in the League of Nations, but he was turned away. I now would like to give the floor to Ms. Morph to speak briefly. Yes, Ms. Morph, you have the floor.
Madam Chairperson and distinguished members of the forum, Scano, Swagwego, Begadana Honyo, Senio, Songwawi, Sogwayadiso, Agatenoni, Scano, Ganodonyo, Watne. These are the words of the Cayuga language. Translated, it says, "Hello to all. I am thankful for the many things our Creator has given us, and I hope your minds are well and you have good thoughts today. My name is Kim Morph, and I am here today to give thanks to those that have made the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues possible. On behalf of my great-grandfather, Levi General, better known as Chief Deskahe of the Haudenosaunee, I commend the forum. In 1923, my great-grandfather left Canada on a quest for Aboriginal rights by traveling to London and then Geneva to seek support from the League of Nations for his people. The Haudenosaunee refrained from engaging in war because they wished to rely on peaceful policies such as those echoed in the League of Nations and United Nations covenants. Chief Discahe was determined to preserve the treaty rights of the Haudenosaunee, and he believed in the spirit of Geneva and felt the League of Nations was the venue to give voice to the smaller nations of the world. I give thanks to the nations of Estonia, Ireland, Panama, Persia, and the Netherlands, who all supported my great-grandfather on his quest for peace and recognition of indigenous political independence. As the Haudenosaunee follow and believe in the great law of peace, the United Nations is an organization that promotes laws for peace. In his words, Discahe defended the rights of indigenous peoples to live under their own laws, in their own countries, to worship their great spirit in their own way. My great-grandfather would be very proud of each and every one of you here today, and to know that this forum exists so that we have a voice to express our concerns. During his lifetime, he encouraged all indigenous communities to be heard, because no matter who you are, no matter where you are, stand up and speak. Educate your sons and daughters so they will be able to do the same. My great-grandfather believed that Mother Earth has no borders. We are here to respect and protect the land and all of its occupants. I too see how important this is, and I am proud of my heritage and wish to continue my great-grandfather's work by promoting indigenous rights through this great international organization, the United Nations. On behalf of my great-grandfather, I would like to extend my sincerest appreciation for all those that have laid path for us to be here today, such as Maori leader T.W. Ratana, and members of the Working Group on Indigenous Populations, and the many members of this wonderful forum. There are many of us, over 370 million Indigenous people worldwide, and we see some of these faces in attendance here today. It is my hope that Indigenous groups continue to respect each other's differences and unite for the greatest cause on Mother Earth, peace. We can do it, and we will do it. Once we had no voice, and now we do. As you come here to the United Nations to speak your minds on such important issues as economic and social development, Indigenous women, the Arctic, the Declaration, human rights, and the fundamental freedoms of Indigenous peoples, hear the calls of your elders by letting your voices echo hope for peace, and it will be. Being here today, I feel the energy of our ancestors who encourage us to continue our purpose. I hope you feel them too. In closing, I leave you with this wish. Skeno, Isinadonio Hawk, Daweto. May you have peace in your mind and heart. Thank you.
I would like to warmly thank Ms. Kim Morf, the great-granddaughter of Chief Discahe. We are indeed honored with your presence here because it shows to us that the struggle continues and the great-granddaughters of those who started before us are still continuing the struggle, and we hope our great-granddaughters will also be following that path. Thank you very much, Ms. Kim Morf. We have reached the time limit for this meeting. Unless any member of the forum wants to take the floor at this stage, I intend to adjourn this meeting. No? Now, I would like to ask the secretariat to please make some announcements before we officially adjourn. Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I've been asked to make the following announcement. The permanent mission of Ecuador, together with the permanent mission of Bolivia, are organizing this side event in this room, which starts at 1:15 to 2:45. This theme of the side event will be challenges for the implementation of the interculturality and plurinationality in the Bolivian and Ecuadorian constitutions. Everybody is invited to participate. Thank you, Michelle.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Just before we adjourn, I would like to remind us again about the guidelines. As I mentioned earlier, caucus statements will be given priority.
And if you have brought a statement, please try to bring this statement to the secretariat. And I would like to emphasize that there are also many opportunities for participation in this session beyond addressing the forum as a whole. And this includes side events, caucus meetings, and informal meetings with the members of the forum and other observers here. So as I announced earlier, we are now taking names for the speakers list for agenda item 3A. And this afternoon, we will take names for items 3B and 3C. Okay, so this afternoon, we shall begin our discussion on item 3A of the provisional agenda, and the meeting will take place in this same room. This meeting is adjourned.
Okay, great. Okay. 1 o'clock?
Thank you. Ahorita en Sucre están viendo eso, las organizaciones, todos los medios sociales. Eso va a sonar, hermano, con el mundo, con los medios sociales.
Ya, gracias.
Gracias. Gracias.
Santi, nos va a faltar un puesto. Acá está el compañero.
No sé.
No, siéntate tú aquí porque sí. Vos hablas primero. Pero... Freddy, ahí, o sea, ya nos van a poner los letreritos de lo que entiendo, o sea, ¿dónde?
¿Te puedes acercar un poquito más allá? ¿No? ¿O tú sí no andaste a la... Allá voy.
No, yo voy aquí a tomar.
¿Cómo voy?
Ya vamos a empezar. Hola, ¿qué tal, compa? ¿Qué es de la vida? Un gusto.
Hola, hola.
¡Qué bonito, qué bonito! ¡Ay!
¿Para qué le mato, pobre loro? ¡Puta madre, firmó todo, oye! Pásame, ese es mi cartón amarillo.
Pásame el programa, a ver cómo está...
¿Es el programa?
Estimados colegas, compañeros, compañeras, las personas interesadas en este evento sobre los retos para la implementación de interculturalidad y plurinacionalidad en las constituciones de Bolivia y Ecuador, vamos a empezar ya en unos pocos minutos, así es que aquellos que están interesados, les rogamos por favor tomar sus lugares, sentarse libremente en la sala, porque vamos a comenzar inmediatamente. For those colleagues interested on the side event regarding the constitutions of Ecuador and Bolivia, you're called to take your seats. We are about to start in 5 or 10 minutes. We would appreciate if you can take your seats because we are about to start in 2 or 3 minutes. Thank you very much. Thank you. cerquita. Muy buenas tardes, compañeros, compañeras, señoras y señoras, para la misión del Ecuador ante las Naciones Unidas. Es un gusto, es realmente un privilegio darles la bienvenida a este evento paralelo del octavo periodo de sesiones del Foro Permanente para las Cuestiones Indígenas de las Naciones Unidas. Este evento abordará los retos para la implementación de interculturalidad y plurinacionalidad en las constituciones de Bolivia y Ecuador. Estos dos países han ido de la mano avanzando en un proceso de consagración de los derechos colectivos de los pueblos indígenas a nivel constitucional. Pensamos que quizás en los contenidos de nuestras respectivas constituciones se encuentran consagrados las luchas de cientos de años de los hermanos y hermanas indígenas de nuestros países. Sin demorarme más, básicamente lo que haremos es presentar a cada uno de los panelistas esta tarde conforme vaya avanzando la sesión. Tengo que quizás hacer una aclaración, tenía que estar presente el día de hoy el viceministro de Justicia Comunitaria de Bolivia, el señor Valentín Ticuna. Asimismo, tenía que estar presente nuestra ministra ecuatoriana de Pueblos y Movimientos Sociales de Ecuador. En ambos casos no están presentes porque les fueron negadas sus visas para venir a este país. Es importante que sepan que esa es la razón de su ausencia. En el caso de la delegación ecuatoriana, 4 de los delegados oficiales tampoco están aquí entre nosotros, lamentablemente, porque tampoco tuvieron visas para entrar a este país. Es realmente lamentable, pero eso es lo que tenemos. Pero lo que sí les puedo garantizar es que tenemos un panel esta tarde de primera línea. Me gustaría iniciar dándole la palabra al doctor Pedro de la Cruz. Él es miembro de la Asamblea Nacional del Ecuador. Actualmente ha sido reelegido para continuar 4 años más en la Asamblea Nacional. Tiene el doctor de la Cruz una larga trayectoria en el movimiento indígena ecuatoriano. Él es quichua de la comunidad de Turuco, de Cotacache, en Imbabura. Como les decía, es actualmente asambleísta de la Asamblea Nacional del Ecuador. A lo largo de sus responsabilidades organizativas ha pertenecido y presidido la Unión de Organizaciones Campesinas e Indígenas de Cotacachi, la UNORCAC, la Confederación Nacional de Organizaciones Campesinas, Indígenas y Negras del Ecuador, FENOSIN. Ha sido presidente por varias ocasiones y, entre otras de sus actividades, fue miembro del Comité del Decenio de los Pueblos Indígenas, integrado por la FENOSIN, CONAIE, FEINE y FENACLE. Fue vicepresidente de la FICAPI, Federación de Campesinos e Indígenas de Imbabura, concejal de Cotacachi, diputado nacional alterno por la Alianza Partido Socialista Pachacútec, Nuevo País, delegado por las organizaciones indígenas y campesinas al Fondo Indígena de América Latina y además ha representado a nuestro país en varios eventos y foros internacionales. Tengo el privilegio entonces de dejar con ustedes al doctor Pedro de la Cruz.
Bueno, muchas gracias por habernos invitado. Estoy por primera vez aquí. Tukuyja kaypi kashkamashikunata napaita chayachipani, Ecuador mama llaktamanta, kichwa runa mikani, pamba pi kausani, mana pueblo kuma llukshi ushashkanichu yapalla, kay mambash kallaripi shamuni, mana shamushkanichu punta kay foro nishkakunaman. Ñuka rimagrini ashaguta yapa asha pachaya tian ñukanchik kichuapi o rimangapapashnachu. Bueno, yo quisiera, compañeros y compañeras, saludar a nombre de la Asamblea Nacional del Ecuador. Fui constituyente y luego de la constituyente estamos en la transición, en régimen de transición, que es desde la constituyente a elegir a las nuevas autoridades y que se eligió el 26 de abril, en la cual he sido reelecto por voluntad de todo el pueblo ecuatoriano. siendo uno de los terceros más votados a nivel para asambleísta nacional. Yo quisiera dar algunas experiencias que hemos tenido en nuestro país. Por ejemplo, una...
¿Me permiten que haga esta interrupción? Simplemente es para anunciar que es por el Canal 4 donde tenemos traducción al inglés para aquellas personas que necesitan traducción al inglés. Es en el canal 4, por favor. Perdón, Pedro, ¿puedes seguir?
Bueno, yo quería empezar diciendo las experiencias prácticas en la Asamblea. O sea, nosotros las declaraciones y las acciones las hemos hecho desde aspectos prácticos. Por ejemplo, en la Asamblea nosotros teníamos una discriminación positiva porque hablábamos en quichua. O sea, nuestras intervenciones, los que somos indígenas, teníamos esa facultad de hablar en nuestro propio idioma para el pueblo ecuatoriano, para las comunidades y nacionalidades indígenas en nuestro propio idioma, y por lo tanto, siendo la asamblea que teníamos 10 minutos para hablar, nosotros teníamos 15 minutos para poder hablar en quichua y en español. Y asimismo lo hemos hecho en la Comisión de Legislación y Fiscalización actualmente, que lo hemos hecho desde la cosa pragmática, apoyando nuestro proceso. Con esto quiero empezar la presentación, que bueno, hemos tratado de hacerlo esta presentación. Nuestra lucha empieza con la muerte de muchos, como Dolores Cacuango, y en este al menos quisiéramos hacer un homenaje a nuestra mamá Tránsito Amahuaña, que ya dejó de existir, digamos, de una forma material, pero espiritualmente nos da la lucha, nos da esa idea que viene desde el inicio, una forma coordinada de llevar estas acciones de lucha a nivel indígena en el país. En ese tiempo solo pedíamos una reforma agraria que nos diera algún derecho a la tierra, a una ley de comunas que nos permitiera vivir en conjunto. Ese era el inicio de la lucha, digamos, coordinada o organizada en nuestro país. Poco después luchábamos organizados entre campesinos, indígenas, montubios, por mejores condiciones de vida y más por la tierra. Desde los años 45, de 40, 60, se lucha especialmente.